Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study of Hosea chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study of Hosea chapter 4, verses 12 through 15. This is part 1 of 2.
All right, beginning verse 12, we continue where we left off. As God speaks to Israel, the northern kingdom, by the mouth of Hosea. And we're going to pick up there in verse 12, read through 15. Read all these, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. They're long ones, but read them with me. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. They sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom and your spouses shall commit adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom nor your spouses when they commit adultery, for themselves are separated with whores and they sacrifice with harlots. Therefore the people that doth not understand shall fall. Though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Beth-aven, nor swear the Lord liveth. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's a rough patch in Hosea, but we started there in verse 12. And just thought of this, you know, as reading that. Have you thought about how stupid idolatry is?
Yeah.
It says, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. You might as well, you know, pray to the pew.
Yeah.
Or the bookcase. I mean, that's really it's downright nutty stuff. they would do things like take their staffs and they would throw them up in the air, and then how they landed, then there'd be some wise, you know, old geezer who'd walk over and say, oh, by the way, they're facing the north, and they, you know, and they'll come up, it just makes stuff up.
Yeah.
And you know, You could just guess like Jean Dixon, you know. She made hundreds of guesses, and once in a while, you'll hit it.
Yeah.
You know, if you make enough guesses, try it sometime. I mean, don't go get a newspaper column or anything like that, but, I mean, just write down sometime, you know, like 50 predictions for the coming month. And you watch, you'll get something right. It doesn't mean you have anything other than chance behind your predictions. They used to, what they'd also do, they'd put the old guy up on like a top of a tower there, they'd have like a column, but it wouldn't be connected to a building, and they would lift him up on that, and he'd sit up there and cross his feet, and sometimes he'd do things like, you know, burn incense and chant and all that stuff, and then at some point, then he would look up in the sky, and based on what he saw, then he would make predictions for maybe the whole town or an army that's getting ready to go out and fight. And, you know, if he looked up and he saw a rainbow, he'd be like, ooh, you know. But then if there's a big black crow comes in going, ah, you know. Not good. You know, that's the guy. Or it looks clear, but then he's up higher so he can see off in the distance. The clouds are getting ready to roll in, you know. And he'd predict based on that. It's just nutty.
So he's the original groundhog.
Kind of. Well, the groundhog probably is a little more scientific. But it continues and says, look at this, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God. So it's not a matter of intelligence, it's spiritual. Some of the smartest people who ever lived have done that stuff, worshipped. An idol itself is they carve it out of a piece of a tree or something, and then they paint it with, or deck it, as they called it, with silver or gold, because they couldn't afford a solid gold idol or whatever. They take it and put it on the shelf, and they put some candles around it. And yes, it's exactly what the Catholics do with Mary and the saints. And you see the same thing with the Orthodox and their icons. And you see the same thing with a lot of the religions, including New Agers. People are into the New Age movement do that stuff. Yeah, Doug?
Isn't there something into the pantheism where, you know, I worship my car and Mark's going to be my truck, and then, you know, I worship.
Yeah, pantheism is the belief that all is God and God is all.
Yeah.
That's why we've warned people about this pandemic or plandemic movie. The lady being interviewed is a Dr. Judy Mikovits. And you can find other interviews of her out there and listen to her. She's got some important information. But the plandemic movie is put together by a guy who's a pantheist. And there's even videos on his website where he's taking his little boy and indoctrinating his little boy into believing that, he's like a three-year-old little kid. He's indoctrinating him into believing that everything is God. And we are all one with everything. Everything's one. We just have to, you know, reach a higher state of consciousness where we realize these things. There's a lot of people who believe that stuff. But along the lines of it, as I said, it's not a thing of intelligence. It's a spiritual thing. And look at Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 19. We'll see this. These are people like Bill Gates, totally godless, rejects the gospel. George Soros, one of the wealthiest people in the world, totally godless, rejects Jesus Christ. And Ted Turner, completely godless, rejects Jesus Christ. Some of the wealthiest people you've ever known, those are just more well-known. There's all kinds of them. They're all like that. Starts in verse 19, says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. When they stand before God on judgment day, they're going to admit that there were times where they looked around and said, wow, there has to be a God. And why did they reject God? Well, Jesus explains that in John 3:19, because their deeds were evil. They loved their sin.
Yeah.
But read verse 20 with me. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Every one of these guys, every one of these people who are involved in this satanic worship, the Freemasons and the people involved in Satanism and the occult, those are some extreme examples. But as I said, the Roman Catholics who are praying to Mary and the saints, the Orthodox who are praying to icons, it doesn't matter what it is, who, what, when, how, it is all idolatry and all a spiritual thing. They're smart enough to know better. And God says they do know better. And they're going to admit that on Judgment Day. Look at verse 21. Go ahead and read that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Read 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Who are these people we're talking about? Most of the scholars, professors, experts, people called doctor, PhD. I mean, they all have gone away from God into some other ism. Anything before God is idolatry. And they profess themselves to be wise, but they don't realize they have fallen under a spirit, and they did so willingly. So back in Hosea, then we pick up, then it says in verse 13, they sacrifice upon the tops of the mountains and burn incense upon the hills under oaks and poplars and elms because the shadow thereof is good. Listen, you can go anywhere in the world, right here in Columbus. If you go the wrong time or if you want to see it, you can go on the pagan high days. They have high holy days. Halloween, October 31st is one of them. June 20th or 21st, whenever the summer solstice, December 21st or thereabout, the winter solstice. And you can go to the parks. You can go out to Hocking Hills down here. And if you might have to look a little bit, unless you can find it on the internet. They announce where they're going to meet. And you can go watch all these pagans, and you'll find there's college professors. There are ministers in Episcopalian and United Methodist churches. There are lawyers. There are doctors. They're all some of the cream of the crop joining together for pagan worship. It's all over the place today. Gaia. They have their own internet networks, their own cable and satellite TV stations. And you turn it on, and if you watch that stuff, they'll indoctrinate you into all this that we're talking about. All happening right now, and it's all in preparation for the Antichrist.
Yep. Right.
The Antichrist will be an all-encompassing, bringing everybody together.
Yep.
Except believers in Jesus Christ and Jews who refuse to join in with the world government. That's the only two groups. There'll be a third group. I always have to be careful and mention this. There will be a third group of freedom fighters, patriots, and that sort of thing. In Daniel 11, it describes that. We studied that. But most of those are going to lose their heads,
yeah,
along with Christians and Jews who won't accept the mark of the beast. So what this verse is telling us, though, look at the end of the verse. Therefore your daughters shall commit whoredom, and your spouses shall commit adultery. And if you didn't know any better, you'd think he's changing the subject. He's not. Idolatry and adultery go hand in hand.
Amen.
Those who reject the Bible always get involved in sexual perversion. Not always sex acts. I'll give you one example. People in pulpits will lie to you and tell you that a man named Origen was a church father.
Yeah.
He was a heretic.
Amen.
He rejected the deity of Christ, and his sexual perversion was to go to the point where he castrated himself.
Yep. Right.
You will find the most grotesque and ridiculous perversions. Get away from the book, and that's all it takes.
Yeah. Right.
All false religion and false cults involve perversion of God-given sexual purpose.
Amen.
People think I'm exaggerating, and so I ask them to show me the one that isn't, and then we'll go look it up, and I'll tell you,
yep,
that's the way it is. And it's rare that a backslidden Christian doesn't fall into sexual sin. Some great,
yep,
preachers have fallen.
Yep.
They get backslidden. And think just because they get up in front of everybody in a pulpit that somehow makes them super pastor, super, mm-hmm, you know, superman of God. And the Bible says, take heed lest you fall. The deeper the apostasy, the more prevalent you'll see will be the LGBT plus accommodation among evangelicals.
Yep.
The whoredom, and it will be adulterers and fornicators of all stripes, which will include lesbian, bisexual, gay, transgender, queer. I don't know. They come up with so many names, I can't keep up with them all. But we are seeing more and more churches accommodating this. Now, some go to the point where they're putting up the rainbow flags and, you know, and inviting everybody in, you know. But others aren't recruiting in that sense. But if you come in and you're involved in any kind of sexual sin, you'll rarely hear it preached on.
Yeah, right.
And that's why, hand in hand with apostasy. So look at verse 14. It says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom. Hey, that's what's going on in America right now.
Yeah.
that God's not striking people dead. There's not fire and brimstone falling out of the sky. He says, nor your spouses when they commit adultery. For themselves are separated with whores, and they sacrifice with harlots. Look at how it ends. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall what? See, there's the key. God doesn't have to do anything because this results in self-destruction. If you, especially as a Christian, go read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 15 to 16. As a Christian, if you backslide and get involved in sexual sin, it will destroy your life to some degree.
Yeah.
Now, some Christians repent, God forgives, and there's not a lot of visible evidence to those of us who aren't walking in their skin.
Yeah.
But you don't know what's going on behind the skin. You don't know what's going on in here and here, and you don't know what's going on in closed doors, behind closed doors.
Amen.
So if you see somebody like that, don't take for granted they're just getting by with it. And then there's sexual sin that results in STDs. There's sexual sin that results in what the world calls unwanted children, and then they go kill them. And then you say, well, if I ever did that and got pregnant, or my girlfriend got pregnant or whatever, I wouldn't abort it. But still, that child, as much as you hopefully will love it and treat it right, it's a life-changing thing.
Amen.
And a lot of your plans will go down the tubes.
Yep.
You have to change everything. See, that's why God says that. He's not saying, I will not punish your daughters because I really don't care about sexual sin. It's not what he said. He said, I will not punish your daughters when they commit whoredom, nor your spouses when they commit adultery, etc. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall. And you got all these abortions every year. And you ought to sometime do a little research. We've talked about it. How high the suicide rate is.
Yeah.
And a lot of those suicides are over hurt emotions, hurt mental state, hurt lives because of sexual sin. Women who get abortions, men who maybe forced a woman to get abortion, and then later their conscience just eats them alive. Why is there such an epidemic in drug abuse in America today? Guilty consciences.
Amen.
And you talk to people who try to deal with them, people who deal with people with addictions, they'll tell you that. When they finally open up and tell you what's eating at them, what's causing them to be like that, because it doesn't make sense. You'll see somebody, some of the best looking, great health, smart, got the whole world in front of them, self-destructing. It makes no sense. Why are they doing that? Because that's not what they see. What they see is something you and I can't see, their past.
Yeah.
Sin. And sadly, a lot of them will not respond when you offer them forgiveness.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, God, manifest in the flesh, took upon Himself all your sin.
Amen.
On the cross.
Amen.
Shed His blood and died and paid for it all. And if you will repent and turn to Him with faith in that gospel, you'll get a clean slate.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Then, if a voice or a person, either one, tries to remind you of that sin and drag you back down to where you're feeling like you used to, that's not God.
Amen.
That's the devil, whether it's a voice or the person in front of you. That's why you think Jesus looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Because Satan sometimes will come approaching you with skin. And if somebody tries to drag you back to your past, I do like the saying. It says, when Satan tries to remind you of your past, you remind him of his future. But I still think it's better for us to not really talk to the devil. But when anybody, whether it's a person or a voice, reminds you of your past, you remind you of your future. in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the best thing. We were talking about this when a lot of times people will come up to you and say, oh, Christians, there's a bunch of hypocrites. And Christians think they got to... What up, you do? You ain't going to talk about Christians like that. They're like, no, you agree with them.
Amen.
Christians are a bunch of hypocrites.
Amen.
That's why we're not on the cross.
Amen.
Now, we shouldn't be, and hopefully you're not all the time, but... Take, you know, heed lest you fall, you know. You start saying, well, I'm not a hypocrite. And then next week you'll be exposed. The best thing to do is agree with them and say, yes, you're right. Christians are sinners. But they have repented toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. The only difference between me and you is that.
Amen.
That's the only difference.
Amen.
And if you will turn to Christ, He can forgive you and you can have a clean slate,
right,
instead of killing yourself. And I heard a testimony last week, and I can't remember who it was. I was watching some clips of Christian testimonies. And a fella said that... I always tell you, sometimes people say they heard a voice and it's just their own voice. It's their internal voice. They're just not used to thinking. So then when they have a thought, they think, whatever. This guy was lost and going to hell. And he said, you know what? He was about to kill himself. Had a gun ready to blow his head off. And he said, he heard this voice. And said, if you're willing to kill yourself for this lifestyle you've been living, why not just die to what you have been and give yourself to God? See, that's why I know it wasn't God. He doesn't speak of himself in third person like that. What's that? Yeah, see? No, it's kidding. But this guy, he had the realization, I'm ready to blow my head off because of my horrible past. You know why I love that testimony? That's exactly what happened to me. I was at the end of my rope. And I was just ready to end it. Now, I hadn't gone to the point where I got a gun and put it to my head. But I was thinking about it. I was like, I'm miserable. And at that point, up to a certain point, I didn't believe there was a God. I was a professing agnostic. And I'd tell people, I'd debate with people all the time. Oh, I can't believe you believe that stuff. Yeah. And I thought, this is the reality. If there's nothing else, if this is it, and then when you die, there's no eternity, you just die and it's over, we're all wasting our time, even breathing. If this is all there is and there's no God, no heaven or hell, you're not thinking if you think that anything you do is going to matter. At some point, your existence is null and void. It's like you never existed. No one will be alive to remember that you ever existed. No one will care if even within a few years of you dying anyway.
Yeah.
And that's where I was. And I was drinking and doing things I shouldn't do. I was just trying to blow my brains out with, you know, booze and dope. And I finally came to the point, I'm like, if I'm willing to just kill myself, living this pathetic life, why not try God? I know that's not very theologically sound, but that's what I thought. And that's when I started going to the Bible and going to Christians and asking questions and getting answers. I wanted to learn. And eventually, within a few months of that experience, I became a believer and was saved.
Amen.
Though, verse 15 begins by saying, though thou, Israel, play the harlot, yet let not Judah offend. Here's a message where, listen, if you haven't ruined your life and destroyed your life and haven't committed suicide or whatever, look at the people who have gone before you. Learn from that. That's another thing that happened to me. I was in a bar, and there was only about six people in the place. Me, the bartender, a waitress, one woman and two men. The woman was wasted. The two men were drunk. They're all three sitting over there. This woman was just destroyed. She didn't have hardly any teeth left. You could tell she'd been living a hard life. She was just emaciated. Looked like she should have been in the hospital. And there are two guys that look pretty healthy and normal otherwise, clamoring over her to take her home. That's what's going on all over the place right now. And I sat there in a little booth, smoking a cigarette, listening to some honky-tonk music. And I look over there, and I thought, that's going to be you in a few years. That's going to be you. And I thought, you know what? I think I'll learn from somebody else and not have to experience that. I stopped. That's the last time I ever went to a bar. I was going to be a good drunk. What go to the bars. But you see, it's steps. You start thinking about things. That's what telling these people you're talking to, try to get them to think. That's what God's doing right here. He's dealing with Israel and saying, by the way, Judah, look what's about to happen to your sister up north. Don't do it. Learn from Israel's mistake. And if Judah was smart, Judah would not follow Israel's example. Amen? But what happened? The rest is history. Quote, then there is a warning to the house of Judah in verse 15 we just read. The most sacred places like Gilgal had become the scene of the idolatry of the 10 tribes. If Judah offended and committed the same whoredoms, she would not escape judgment. The warning was unheeded. Ruth Graham made the comment that everyone's credited her with, and she deserves credit from what I understand, saying that if God didn't judge America soon, he would have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's Israel and Judah. That comparison, same thing. The sins of Israel that God was destroying them for with Assyria. If you are smart, you won't follow the example of either Israel or Judah.
Amen. Amen.
And he closes there in verse 15, says, and come not ye unto Gilgal, neither go ye up to Bethaven. Now, what he's saying is stop wasting your time with fake worship. Now, that'll get you in trouble if you preach that. So I'm going to preach it. If you're in a church that is fake, get out of it.
Amen.
Find a real church. And if there's not one in your area, start having church in your own house.
Amen.
Amen. Contrary to most commentaries, Bethel, which means house of God, had not become Bethaven, house of iniquity. They teach you that Bethel is now called Bethaven. That's not the reality. It was a suburb. It was kind of outside of Bethel. But Bethel was now in the shadow of Bethaven. See, it used to be Bethel, house of God, was the place, and Bethaven was outside. But now what had happened is everybody wanted to go to Bethaven. You understand what I'm saying? Churches like this one used to be full. Churches like the famous mega churches today couldn't get a crowd years ago. Our ancestors, our parents and grandparents, especially grandparents and great-grandparents, would walk into Joel Osteen or Rick Warren